Well, we're honored to have Pastor Dale Smith with us from the Gold Coast, which is in Queensland, Australia. And it's been an honor to be connected with him. We're in the same ministerial group called AFCM Global, and that's headed up by Jim Newton, who's in Australia. And Dale and I have gotten connected through that, and a privilege of ministering at his church. Dale's married to Ruth, who's was here in the United States. They were in California and Texas, and she had to go back. They have five kids. Dale, I'm not going to puff you up too much, is an amazing father, just being with him and seeing how he was with his kids and his family. And so I love that about him. And great church when we ministered there. You know, you're at different places, and it was a church that just felt at home. I just felt like I knew these people because they reminded me of the people of Good News Church. He's got a real heart to reach the nations, to reach his city. Teaches a lot on prayer and praise and outreach. And his message last time here on the love of God, I have not forgotten it. It impacted me and impacted this church. And so I'm excited to hear what he has to say today. The Holy Spirit will speak through him and speak to all of us. Dale, if you'll come. Praise God.
I am now. Praise God. Awesome. Well, it's great to be here. The light's up there. And so good to see you all again. You all. Is that how you say it? Doing good? Hope you can understand me. I if Ruth was here, she'd be able to teach me a few things. She grew up in the city. I grew up in the woods. We call it the bush. Yeah. In the bush. So I grew up in the bush. In the country, I was a country lad, grew up on a farm, and used to play with sheep and goats and cattle and rabbits and those type of things, and that's my background. And God took me from that and transformed my life to serve Him. So if He can do it for me, He can do it for you. So yeah, praise God. Well, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning, and thank you that we can gather in your name. And we thank you, Father, this morning. We thank you this morning that we can have an encounter with you, Lord. And that you can change our life today. One word from you can touch us and minister to us. And Father, I just thank you that you love us so much. You love us so much. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. And like Matt was saying, we were just so blessed to have Matt and Susie and the boys with us last year. We had loads of fun, and I still remember Harry playing with the kangaroos lying down next to the big red kangaroo, and they are huge, and just wonderful. We had such a great time, and I don't know whether they told you or not, but Matt ministered in our church on Sunday morning, and I told Matt, you need to finish around about 12, you know, that's cool. Well, Susie ministered in another church, and our friends down the road, and they covered the clock up. And Matt and I went out for where we were supposed to go for lunch. Well, we were waiting for a long, long, long time. We were getting quite hungry. They know. So I'll never forget that. Some things stay with you forever. So awesome. So hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Well, Can I just get you to stand for a moment? And one of the things that I really like doing is just giving thanks. And there's power in thanksgiving. And the Bible says we are to enter into His courts with thanksgiving. And this morning, these are His courts. We've come into His courts and we give Him thanks. And there's power in thanksgiving. There's power in praise. It will break down doors. It will give us breakthroughs. The guys in prison, they began to give praises at midnight, and the breakthrough come. This might be your midnight, but your breakthrough's on the way. Amen. And we've got one of our sons as a twin. He's got special needs, and I love him so much. In fact, when I dropped him off to respite before I left, I didn't really understand, but tears just boiled up in my eyes, and And I just couldn't stop crying. Because I just spend so much time with him, caring for him. He needs 24 hours care. And that's why Ruth can't be here at the moment, because we can only get a limited number of time of care. And at the beginning of the year, I was just having a real difficult time with him. He loves food with a passion. And he'll wake up at 5 a.m. in the morning. I have to look after him, and then he'll get into the fridge. He gets there before I do. The fridge is demolished. There's no breakfast left for us. And so that can go on and on anyway. So he was, it was like constant for a few weeks like that. And I was just getting drained. And it was Saturday night before church. It was right at the beginning of the year. The Sunday before church, I did a message on Thanksgiving. And this Sunday night, the previous Sunday, before the next Sunday, I was at, you know, just at the end. And I said to the Lord, I said to him, if this is all you want me to do, just look after him, I'll be happy to do it, because I love him. And then Ruth heard me. You know, wives, they've got ears everywhere. They can hear between walls and all sorts of things. And she said, do you remember what you preached on last Sunday? And I remember something about Thanksgiving. And I began just to be thankful. Not for what his state of condition, but just began to thank God for him and who God is. And just began to give thanks. And I did that for about half an hour. Just gave thanks. Well, the next morning, he was a transformed young man again. Just amazing. We had the best Sunday we ever had in the week. And just the power of just giving thanks. And so we're just going to just raise our hands to the Lord this morning and just give him thanks for what he's doing, what he's going to do this morning, what he's doing in your own lives. Well, praise God. We thank you this morning. Thank you for this new home, the provision, the testimony of that. Father, we thank you for what you're doing, Lord. Thank you for this wonderful church, Good News Church. So we have a family that loves us. Lord, we thank you for our families. Thank you, Lord, for our salvation, Lord. Thank you for your love, that you never give up on us, that you're always there for us. You never let us down. We thank you for who you are, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we give you thanks. We give you thanks. Wonderful, God. Wonderful one. Wonderful. Oh. Oh. Hallelujah. Oh. Amen, amen. Oh. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, there's a few excited people. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes you don't want to praise him. Sometimes you do not feel like it. And sometimes you just have to open your mouth, the power of words. You know, the enemy does not want us to open our mouth. He tries to keep our mouth closed. One thing he hates is us giving praises to our God. And he'll try to keep it shut. And so we just have to force ourselves to begin to give thanks when we don't feel like it. You know, if you're sick, you've got a headache, or you're in pain, it's one thing you do not feel like is giving thanks. But when you start to do it, you know, just in your own flesh, then your spirit will bubble up and it will take over. And that's what began just to start to happen here right now. Amen. And then it becomes just a natural thing of the Holy Ghost flowing out of us. Amen. So praise God. Awesome. Well, you may be seated. Wonderful. I just sense there's a young man or a boy that's got pain in one of your legs. What are you here this morning? Don't be shy. Don't be embarrassed. Anybody? Just... Hey, hey, man. What have you done to it?
This is the beauty of camp right here.
Yeah, I thought about it would be camp, yeah.
Yeah, we do a lot of running and stuff.
Yeah, you pulled something? Awesome. Right, okay. Stretch out your hands. We thank you, Lord, for grace and Lord. Father, we just speak, Father, to that leg, that muscle, whatever it is right now. And we just speak to that pain, whatever is causing it right now. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, for complete restoration, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, just... Amen. Hey. That's pretty good. I couldn't do that. Awesome. Hey, good. Wonderful. Awesome. As well as preparing to come here, I've just got one scripture for the church. I've got lots of scriptures, but one in particular. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. And you can turn there if you like. And particularly if you've got the Amplified Bible. Okay? Well, you ladies should have the Amplified Bible. A lot more words in it. Okay? That's Sunday morning. Susie was using the Amplified Bible. Matt was using the King James. That was the problem. Now I know. Okay, verse 2. So, very easy to find. Just the second verse in the Bible. The earth was without form and an empty waste, and darkness was upon the face of the very deep. The Spirit of God was moving, hovering, brooding over the face of the waters. And just the Spirit of God just sort of gave that to me. I just sensed that, the Lord is, for this year, he's been hovering. And he's been hovering over this church. There's new things happening. God is doing a stirring work in each and every one of you, but he's stirring in the corporate body here. And he's brooding, just like a big chook, they brood, they sit on eggs and give birth. And I believe that you're in a birthing time, birthing for bigger things. God's got plans, purposes. And this is the season that you're in, and so just get ready. God is about to do some great things, and you're not going to have to work at it. It's like it's just going to fall on your lap. You're not going to have to strive. It's just going to be a favor and grace as you're walking. Just be obedient to him, trust him, and just allow him to do it. Amen? So, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Wonderful. Well, I've got two things to share on this morning. One that I was going to share on, and one that Pastor Susie asked if I'd share on, so I'm going to do that too. Okay? So the first thing else I've got is the power of assembly. And the second one is, you young people being at camp can relate to, is the power of passion. Okay, so but the first thing I just want to talk about is the power of assembly. And it's very, very powerful. The Bible says, I've just got a couple scriptures here. Whew, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Good News Church is a significant church in this city and this nation. Amen? Very, very significant. And it's very significant as you assemble together as one. And there's unity and you become a very, very powerful force. And I want to take you to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I was actually going to do a whole lesson on this, but I won't. I just love that chapter. But 2 Chronicles chapter 20, so we're just going to read the first four verses. And this chapter is about Jehoshaphat. He was in a very difficult situation. He had four armies coming against him from different sides, coming to attack him. Ever felt like that before? You've got things happening. You've got attack from home. Just felt like Pastor Benny was like that last night. He had attacks from lawyers and family and coming from all different directions. And sometimes, you know, you got a text from home, you got a text from work, from school, whatever, and you don't know where to turn to. And so that's what was happening here in verse 2. Then there came some who told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee beyond the sea on the side of Syria, and behold, they are in Hazazon-Tamia," which is En-Gedi. Why don't you say that in the first place? My goodness. It's very difficult for an Aussie, you know, that grew up in the bush. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea, Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And so what Jehoshaphat did is that he called the country, the nation together. He asked them to come together. And they came together. And the King James said that they gathered themselves together. And I was just looking at this word, gathered. You know, more of a correct word is actually assembled together. Assembled together. And for a couple of other translations, the International Standard Version says, "And the tribe of Judah assembled together to seek the Lord." There's another one Bible called the Net Bible. "The people of Judah assembled to ask for the Lord's help." So the word assemble is a little bit different than just gathering. Amen? You can just gather together and have a nice time, but when you assemble together, you mean business. You come together for a cause. You know, like even on Sunday mornings, you're not just having a nice social time together. You're actually come together for a purpose. Amen. You come to worship Him together. You come to get fed of God's Word, to get empowered for the week. This is like the coach's locker room, you know, before the match for the big game during the week. Amen. Where the coach stirs you up and prepares you for the week. Come on. Amen. And stirs you up. So that's what it's about. So we assemble together. And in Hebrews, of course, in chapter 10, verse 25, it says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together." The Bible actually says we are not to stop coming together. And there's so many, I don't know if it's the same here in Augusta, but in our area, there's a lot of people, a lot of Christians, not assembling together in the morning. Amen. They're doing other things on Sunday and getting distracted by the world, getting distracted by other things other than the Spirit of God. Amen. But the Bible says definitely, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, as so much more as the day approaching." Wow, especially in the last days, we need each other. Amen. We need each other. We certainly do. And the Bible says that we are to come together to exhort each other. We come together to build each other up, to encourage each other. You know, it's not just Pastor Matt and Susie's job and other leadership job to encourage each other. You need to encourage each other. Amen. You know, in our church, you know, quite often, church is not just, you know, the hour and a half here. You know, it happens after in the fellowship room. Amen. Or before the service. Just as much church as here during the service. Amen. So, powerful. So we assemble together. That word assemble is powerful. We have a supply to give to each other. And if you don't come and give out your supply, then the body is actually lacking. Amen. You know, as you come here on Sunday mornings and other meetings that you have during the week, you should be coming prepared to give your supply of the Spirit, you know. And bring that in and just adds to the body. Amen. And your presence makes a difference. Makes a difference. Makes a difference to these guys, but it makes a difference to the whole body. Amen. Makes a difference. And I tend to see it like a fireplace. You know, are there any builders here? Any builders? Yeah? Any bricklayers? Is that what you call them? Bricklayers? Yeah. Any bricklayers here? But but you would know as a builder that if you were to gather some bricks together, you could to build a fireplace. You could just come and just pile the big bricks on the ground. Just pile of bricks doesn't actually mean anything, and it's not actually going to do anything. But when the builder actually compiles the bricks and puts mortar between the bricks and builds a fireplace, then it becomes meaningful and purposeful. Amen? But just a group of bricks on the ground is nothing. Amen? So when, instead of just gathering the bricks together, we actually turn that into the bricks being assembled together, then they become a powerful fireplace for the Lord. Amen? Very, very powerful. Is it anybody? Does anybody have, you know? You all have you had experience with young children. You guys, how old are you? You got? How's your oldest now? Five. Okay, this is good. Have you bought her a bike yet? Yeah. Okay. Well, I remember buying my children bicycles, and especially at Christmas time, you want to have the perfect bike for your young son or your daughter. And I remember doing this for my daughter. And so you would go, you know, a few days before Christmas. We always leave things at the last minute, you know. And just before Christmas, go into, we don't have Walmart where we are, but we've got, Kmart and similar things like that. So you go and you find where all the bikes are. You've got the nice pink bikes and, you know, with the test out the whistle, make sure it works. And so you think, this is the one I want. And you go up to the person to get the bike. And all they give you is just a little ticket or something. And so go to the cashier and pay for it. So you go to the cashier thinking that you might get a bike. And they say, just go out to the pickup place and you'll be able to pick up your bike. Well, you get to the pickup place and they just hand you a box. No pink bike with no whistle on it. Just a box, and on the box it, this needs to be assembled. So you rush home. You've only got, especially if you're like me, the day of Christmas or the day before Christmas, and so you're madly having to put this thing together, because if I just put this box under the Christmas tree, I think that instead of joy there'd be tears, and so you madly put this this bicycle together. And parts are going everywhere, and then all of a sudden in my case there was this missing nut, and that you had the steering wheel attached to the rest of the body, and so I couldn't find the nut, and so without the steering wheel the bike's not much good. Some of you probably could manage that, but me, from the bush, nah. So eventually I found the nut and was able to put the bike together, and then the bike looked good and the whistle would work, and so instead of putting the bike in the box, I just put the bike under the Christmas tree, and so she was so happy come Christmas morning. But every part of that bike is very special, and that nut is very, very important. And you might be that nut. you may have even been called a nut. But if you are, you're still very, very important. Amen. Whether you're the wheel or the nut, you are very, very important. And you're a key, and without every little part, the body doesn't function, the bike doesn't function. So whatever part you play, you are very, very important, because it needs to be assembled together. It needs to be assembled, and there's power in assembling together. become a very powerful force. There's unity. You know, God says in his word that God commands a blessing in unity, doesn't he? So, powerful force. And so don't underestimate that. You're not just gathering together on Sunday morning. You come prepared to do something for God. You're assembling together in his name to become a mighty force. And other meetings that you have during the week or when you gather, you know, whether it be one, you know, twos or threes or fours or hundreds, you're a powerful force together. Okay, so we've got some special nuts here. Praise the Lord. Amen. I think I was that nut. The Bible says that in Deuteronomy, one could put 1,000 to fight, and two can put how many to flight? 10,000. We're a powerful horse, and there's more than two here this morning. So you can really impact this city and this nation for the Lord. Amen. So Matthew 18, verses 18 to 20 says there's the power of agreement. One can do so much, but when there is agreement, it becomes very, very powerful. Amen. So I'm not going to read the scriptures, but hallelujah. As members of the body of Christ, we belong to each other. Yes. We belong to each other. We're connected to each other. Yes. We're a family. Yes. I can tell that, you know, I feel like home here, you know, and it's great to have, you know, the families from across the nation here this morning. And, you know, doesn't matter that you're not regular here or part of Good News, just because you're part of their family, you're part of this family, amen? And so we're a family, so we're connected and become a very, very powerful force. In Romans chapter 12, verse 5, it says, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We belong to each other, amen? Whether you like it or not, amen? You belong to each other. You know, and some of our body parts may not be beautiful, but they still belong to us. Amen. And if I didn't have my arm wasn't attached to me, it would be very difficult. I've actually got to back home, and I was going to bring it, but I thought the U.S. government might not like it, or I might get in trouble. I've got this arm, which is a plastic arm, but it looks really real. And from time to time, I bring it out of the church and just lay it on the floor, you know. And just to remind people that we, you know, that that arm belongs somewhere. And and it's not good just lying on the floor, you know. It needs to be attached to the rest of the body. And so, you know, you guys, you're all part of the body. So make sure you're attached to the body. Don't be out there on your own. Just be part of, you know, young people, whether, you know, you're just toddling around or you're mature. I got in trouble. Talked about somebody in our church being old. I now say mature. And we're all part of the body. Amen. And so make sure you get connected and just flow with what the body's doing. Go in that one direction. Go with the vision that this church has. Just flow with it. Amen? And you might be that little toe, but you're a very, very important little toe. Amen? So don't forsake body. Oh, there's gifts in the body. Amen? There's so many scriptures concerning the body, but there's gifts, and you all got gifts, and we need to stir up the gifts. Stir up the gifts continually. Stir it up. So, praise the Lord. Let's check my time there. Glory to God. I once, sometimes your parts of the body hurt, you know, and that happens with the body of Christ. You know, sometimes part of the body is hurting, so you actually go out and help that body. I was working once. I've worked more than once, but when I just left school, and I got a part-time job on these wheat bins. I don't know whether do you grow wheat around here or more in Midwest? Well, those big wheat bins, and with a the farmers bring their wheat in, and then they have they take it from the trucks into large augers, and they go into the big silos. Well, this is going back a number of years. Things have changed a lot now, but they had these augers, and they were 5 tons, big things. And so these augers took the wheat and put it into the silos, and one of our jobs was to push these augers along the side of the silos, depending on what was full and what wasn't. Well, anyway, I was doing this, pushing this 5-ton auger on, and part of my body didn't sort of notice the wheel, and it got run over. My foot got run over, and so it was my little toe, and so it got broken, and so it was very, very painful. Even though it was just a little member of the body, it was very, very painful. And so sometimes part of our body gets hurt from time to time, and so then the rest of the body goes in its aid, amen, and helps out. So we're all part of the body, and we connect, and we work together. And so when we're assembled together, we're a powerful, powerful force. And so understand your gifts and where you belong, and combine them together, and God has a plan and a purpose, amen. So glory to God. Whew. So if you're taking notes, I'll just give you a couple of scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, talks about the many parts of the body. And then from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14 to verse 23, it talks about all the different parts and how they need each other. You know, the ear cannot say to the eye, I don't need you, okay, and so forth. So we all need each other. Praise God. Is that good? Okay, so we've had the main course, and now I'm going to just share on, give you the dessert with passion, the power of passion. Awesome. So I'm excited about you young people. You've come back from camp and you're all excited, but the thing is to keep your passion. It's not just for this last weekend. It's 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 52 weeks of the year. We need to be passionate for God. Amen. And then, you know, if we do get a bit low, or we're getting a bit dry, well, we've got to learn to stir up our passion. And, and sometimes, you know, that's why we need each other, to encourage each other, to stir up that passion. Hey, come on, Harry, you know, it's okay, you can do it, mate, don't quit. You know, and so we encourage each other, and we stir up the gifts in each other. And so we need each other. But sometimes that doesn't come. So what do? You have to stir yourself up. Stir yourself up. And, David, when he, was at Ziklag. You remember the story of Ziklag? And he was fighting one area, and then he come back to home, and he find out that all his family and all his men's family has been taken, all his belongings have gone, and he's got nothing left. And then his own church come to attack him. Okay? His own family come to attack him. And so he had to encourage himself in the Lord. And that's why the Word, you guys have been ministering on the Word lately, the power of the Word at the camp. That's why the Word is so important, because you have to stir yourself up with the Word of God. Stir yourself up with the Word of God. And, I remember the analogy of sometimes it takes a while to stir things up. But if you keep stirring and stirring and stirring, transformation will take place. I remember as a child, my mum, we used to buy this liquid cream. Do you have liquid cream? But we used to like it thick, so... And we didn't have an electric beater. We had a handheld beater. And I'd be like 8 or 9 years old. And I'd be stirring this thing. I thought, this has to be like milk, not cream, you know. This is taking forever. And I'd be stirring. And Mum would say, hey, it'll turn, you know. It'll turn thicker. And eventually it would. And it got thick. And the Lord just said, that's the same way in our lives. As you keep stirring and stirring and stirring, there's a point of time where it turns, goes from liquid into solid. There's a point of time where the breakthrough will actually take place and transformation will take place in your life. But you've got to be persistent. You've got to keep going. Do not quit. Because I could have just got to the, just before it turned into solid and given up. And that's what happens with so many Christians. They give up too early. Amen. So keep stirring yourself up. Amen. So, hallelujah. Whew. Thank you, Lord. I got saved. I was telling Matt, I got saved when I was 15. My mum and dad, they grew up in a denominational church where salvation was not preached. My dad was, dad would have been in church for 50 years and never heard salvation. So I get saved, share the gospel with them, they get born again. And they're in heaven. My mum got so on fire. She was just wonderful. And so she was just a real buzz. And so is that okay? Is that a good word here? Tell me if I'm saying a wrong word or, you know, there's some words that you don't, you know, that are not good, you know. And and then from when I was went into university, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And ever since then, I've been on fire. Never lost the fire of God. But I've had a number of my friends that don't have the fire or don't have the passion, not walking with the Lord anymore. I went to Bible school when I was 23 years of age at Rhema Bible Training Center in Perth. And a number of my fellow students are no longer walking in the Lord. Lost the passion. And there's no real reason for it, really, you know. Just the things of the world get in, the cares of the world get in. But they've had like a call of God in their life and no longer walking with God. And just really just upsets me that's happened. And so I don't want it to happen to you guys. I want you to keep your passion for the rest of your life. What God has done, He's going to complete it. Amen. And so especially you young ones, you know, when you're on fire, just remember to keep that fire burning. Amen. You know, when you're hot for the Lord, one thing about a hot stove is that flies cannot come and land on a hot stove. Amen. So it's no good. So things, amen. So when you're hot, things that are not good cannot be around. Amen. So praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. When I was 18 years of age, my mum found this little brochure on from Wycliffe Bible Translators. Do you ever know Wycliffe Bible Translators? And it was called Assist a Missionary for a Month. And she said to me, you might want to go on this. I thought maybe she was trying to get rid of me or something, you know. Anyway, so when I was 18 years of age, in between in our summer break, which our summer break is in December, our holidays. And so I went to the Philippines for a month and at the age of 18 with no one that I knew. There was another five people that went and didn't know them. And I was actually quite, you know, this was a big thing for me. You know, I lived at home and I was going on my own. Didn't go off with a youth group, just completely went on my own at the age of 18. And it changed my life forever. Changed my life forever. Went to this place where there was no white people. There was some United States missionaries there, but they'd gone back to the United States in their nice comfort and left me there on my own, I think. So I was just amongst all these Filipinos that spoke, you know, Tagalog and their own language, weren't speaking English. But God did something in my life, amen. And I remember a scripture that changed my life forever. Psalm 27. See if I can find it. Psalm 27. Thank you, Lord. We might... somebody got it? Psalm 27. I went to... when we landed in Manila, we had to have some training for a few days. And... part of the training, we learn about the culture and learn about what was there. and what we were going into. And some of the rumors that got around from some people there was that there was cannibals in the place where I was going. You know, cannibals are people that eat each other when they get hungry. And I wasn't too keen on that. So I didn't know any different. You know, I'd read books in about Papua New Guinea and where, you know, missionaries there and there was cannibals there. And so I thought, well, it could well be. And so this slight fear, you know, I was ready to go back home. You know, slight fear came up to me. And the Lord gave me this scripture in Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they shall stumble and fall. Isn't that God good? He's got a word for you whenever you need it. And I needed it. And so I figured if there was cannibals there that were going to eat me before they took that bite, they would stumble and fall. That was good. There was cannibals in those days. And so if there were any cannibals where I was going, then I was in good hands. Hallelujah. So I don't know if there's any cannibals around here, but if there is, then you're okay. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, but anyway, let's quickly talk about passion. I was ironing this morning, and you know, sometimes when you're ironing, you just like to touch the iron and see if it's hot enough. Well, I don't recommend that. But that's hot, isn't it? You know, and when you're passionate, you're hot for God. And I've just written a few things about being passionate. When you have passion for God, you're not empty. Amen. You're not empty. You've got a supply. You've got a reserve. Passionate is not necessarily loud, but you'll be noticed. Amen. One thing for sure, the enemy will notice you when you're passionate for God. And we want to make him notice that we're passionate. People that are passionate are not affected by circumstances. They do the opposite. They impact their circumstances. People love to be around passionate people. It's contagious. Amen, it's contagious. When you're passionate, you will go that extra mile. You will do that extra thing. If you love something, you will do that extra thing. I remember when I first met my wife Ruth, and then we started dating, and then we got engaged. I was living in the country, and she was in the city, and I was working about 3 hours, so it'd be like living in Atlanta or a bit further. And so every weekend I would travel to the city because I was passionate about her, wanted to be around her. And so I would, as soon as work finished, 5 o'clock Friday afternoon, I was on the road. And then I would stay as long as possible. So I would, Monday morning, 5 a.m., I would leave and be back and work because I was passionate for her. Stay as long as possible around. Amen? So you'll go that extra mile. You'll do that extra thing. Passionate people are committed to a cause. Amen? And we've got a cause, and his name's Jesus Christ. Amen? So we're passionate about him. Passionate people love to pray, but not just pray, they love to pray effectively. Passionate people are never at a loose end. Do you know what I mean by that? They're never bored. They're always doing something for God. Amen? And so, anybody have teenagers? You know, you're in school holidays now. You know, and the kids say, oh, I'm bored. They're doing that here? Yeah, I'm bored. Well, you know, when you're passionate, you're never bored. Never bored. There's always something to do for God. Always somebody to get saved. Amen. There's always somebody to love on. Amen. There's always something to do for somebody else if you're passionate. Okay. I think we've got there's a bit of a PowerPoint. So there's some things about passion. You're full of love, your enthusiasm, you've got zeal, your devotion, you're dedicated, you're committed. And so if you can go to the next slide. And so this is what I found very, very interesting about the word passion. And it's the words in Latin and also in Hebrew and Greek, they've all got root words. And one of the root words about passion is that its meaning is to suffer. You don't like to hear that, do you? You don't actually think that the word passion means to suffer. And so when you're passionate, you actually will give up something. Amen? You actually give up your time, give up your energy. You know, when, like I said, you know, I was passionate about Ruth. I gave up my whole weekend for her. I went that distance and gave up something for her because I was passionate about her. Amen? And that's the way we need to be with the Lord, you know. We give up things for Him, you know, whether it's our time in prayer, you know, every morning, spending time with Him. We'll give up our time for Him. So it doesn't mean, you know, in terms of suffering that, you know, of course we'll be persecuted. We need to be aware of that. And that's one of the things when you're passionate, you don't mind being persecuted. You know, when you share the gospel, you don't mind people saying nasty things to you because you don't mind, because you're passionate about Him. Amen? So some other things about the word passion. It means enthusiasm, desire for something, but you're actually giving up things because you're passionate for Him. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 22, 37 to 40, the first part of 37, it says, love the Lord your God. And this is from, I think, the Message Bible. Love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer. Okay, so love the Lord your God with all your passion, prayer, and intelligence. Love Him with all your brain, amen? So with everything you got, you know, every bit of fiber in your body should be passionate for Him. Amen, so there's so many other scriptures that talk about seeking God. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says that we need to diligently seek Him. So we should be hungry and thirsting after Him all the time. Amen. So I encourage you today just to do that. Be hungry and thirsty for Him. God does not appreciate lukewarm people. Amen. He'd rather spit a lukewarm person out of His mouth. Amen? He wants somebody that's hot. He'd rather a cold person than actually hot. And this is, I've got this definition of passion. I think it might be up there. Yeah, what is passion? The term passion is used to describe everything, from romance to hunger pains. I don't know what it means to you, but for me, passion means whatever a person is willing to suffer for. In fact, that's the root meaning of the word. It comes from the Latin pasire, to suffer. It is what you hunger for so intensely that you sacrifice anything to have it. Amen? So, I know when Ruth was pregnant with, not sure it was all the children, but sometimes she wanted some certain foods, you know? And being the young husband, I would go out there and get them. Not sure whether I'd do it now, but anyway. But I'm still passionate for her. I would. Don't tell her. But I think she liked olives or something like that. So I remember, got to go and find these olives, you know. And people are passionate in the world. And you know some passionate people in the world? You know, who follows a football team or a basketball team? Got your favourite team? Well, there's some parts of Australia, they are so passionate about sport than God. But they are passionate. You know, they'll even travel across the other side of the nation to go and watch their football team. They do that here? Yeah, go across the other side of the nation to go and watch their... They've got all the jerseys, you know, the jumpers. What do you call them, jerseys? Yeah, jerseys. And with their favourite player's number on the back and things like that. Okay. They got the scarves, the beanies. Do you have beanies? We got beanies, you know, in the cold, you put them over your ears. All the right colours. And they got flags. And then they got pictures on the wall of their favourite players. You got that? We have all the pictures on the wall. And... players' names, and they know all the details. They know that, you know, they know when their team, all the premierships they won. They know how many goals they kicked, and they know all the details. All the players going back to 1920, and oh my goodness, you know, we've got my son-in-law, and he knows all the details, you know, and I can ask him anything about, you know, about his team or another team, and he knows it, you know. And so now then they get sort of so ridiculously passionate that I've got my niece just had a baby, and she named her son after one of the players of their football team. And you know, this is getting really passionate about sport. You know, you wouldn't do that in America. But people in the world are passionate about their sport, their things that they love doing. You know, we need to be passionate about God to the same degree, you know. You know, we need to know the Word of God the same way that they know about all the details of their players and their sport. We should know the Word of God like that. Amen. You know, we should have the reservoir, you know, of the Word in our lives that we can draw on that Scripture when we need it, you know. You know, that player back in 1920, you know, when he kicked that goal, that's not going to help us, you know. But that Scripture, when we need it, is going to help us. Amen. So we need to be passionate. And so I've got a definition of a godly passion. Passion, therefore, is a deliberate, intentional choice to live for the worship of Jesus. It has to do with being committed to the point of death, to spreading His glory. It's the quality of those who are on fire for Jesus, who dream of the whole earth be covered with the glory of God. Thank you, Lord. I know when passion has died in my heart, it happens when I don't spend my quiet time dreaming of the time when Jesus will be worshipped in language that aren't even heard in heaven. I know it's missing from my life when I sing about heaven, but live as if earth is my home. Passion is dead in my heart when I dream more about sports, toys, places to go and people to see than I do about worshipping Jesus. Amen. So just check your heart. And this morning I encourage you to check your heart to find out where you are. And just don't do it today, but do it, you know, do it every day. Check your heart, you know. Do I still love you today much, Lord, as I did yesterday? Be that, just that passion about Him. And if you can say, I will do anything for Jesus, but you don't suffer for Him, are you really passionate about Him? Are you prepared to suffer for Him? Do that extra thing for Him? And that's my thing today. You know, if you're not, then maybe you don't have the passion, you know. And so I encourage you, you know, to stir up the passion in your life. Just get hungry for Him, you know. And, you know, we all need an encounter with God. Amen. And young people, just encourage you, you know, whatever it takes, you know. Parents, you know, one of the things that we've done with our kids is we've encouraged them to have an encounter with God. They're all serving the Lord. And one of the things that we've done is we've sent them all to the mission field, just, you know, and it just changes their life forever. And my boys have both went to the Philippines with me. And our youngest daughter, Ruth, took Naomi to Africa to Disciples of Mercy when she was 12. She was on the bus to the juvenile detention center, and the pastor in the bus that was going with Ruth and Naomi, he turned to Naomi and he said to her, "Do you have something to share to the young ones in detention center?" And she said, "I'll think about it." And so a few minutes, she said, "Yes, I do." And so she was like 12. And she spoke to all these teenage young ones. And, you know, they were just in a whole mess in there. There's, you know, about 100 of them just in a, you know, room third of the size of this. And she spoke to her, but it changed her life forever. And You know, she's a passionate girl for him. Amen. So, you know, young ones, just do whatever it takes to be passionate for the Lord. Have an encounter with him. And, you know, get touched by God. You know, get into the presence of the Lord. Get into worship. Be passionate about him and worship. You know, and get hands laid on by, you know, just, you know, your pastors and, you know, and just get the presence of God into your life and it'll change and impact your life forever. Amen. So, things just wonderful. So, glory to God. Well, I think I've used up my time, so, but there's other stuff here, but God bless you. And, you know, we have to die to ourselves. And that's part of being passionate. Deliver us, God, from ourselves. Amen. And just allow him to work for within us. Amen. So I'll hand it over to Pastor Matt. But if you want us to pray for you at the end of service, I'm happy to hang around and pray for you guys. Anyone who wants to stay around, and I'll pray for you. And, you know, I'll stir up the gifting with you. And I'm happy to do that for you. Amen. So God bless you and thank you.